resolutions, or by professions of good intent, whether they emanate from Washington, Lon Israel, he says, requires deeds not words. It needs guarantees of steel. We are in total agreement with this position. The Jews in Israel are entitled to the same guarantees of steel that the Jews in America have, that the South Koreans, Japanese and Germans have. The armed forces of Maxwell rightly points out that Israel cannot trust its whole existence to promises which may not be kept, which may not be intended to be kept, or this is the crux of the matter. Promises are simply not enough. Obviously, Japan would never have staked its nationhood on US promises alone. Neither would the people of West Germany or South Korea, nor should Israel be expected to do so. Maxwell confirms what we have assumed Israel's position to be. Israel wants peace, but peace with security. In an article appearing in the Jerusalem Post dated June 3, 1989, entitled Rabin Praises Military Alliance, Defense Minister Yitzhak Rabin announced that the US and Israel have conducted at least 27 combined military exercises in recent years. The article goes on to Rabin, who met earlier with Defense Secretary Richard Cheney and other high Pentagon military and civilian officials, recalled a conversation he had had earlier this year in Tel Aviv with the commander of the Mediterranean 6th Fleet and the US ambassador to Israel. They came to my office and said they have reached the point where it's not enough to train an Israel US Marine Corps units up to the level of company, Rabin said. What they would like to do is to do it on battalion level size with the use of US artillery and attack helicopters. The defense minister said he was glad to report that a month ago, the 1st US Marine Battalion completed its exercise in Israel, including the use of live ammunition, artillery, and attack helicopters. And I know that the demand is to have more and more of this kind of training, and what is the point of this? If US forces were in Israel merely to conduct maneuvers or training exercises, it accomplishes nothing for Israel's security any more than a temporary presence of US military forces in Korea, Japan, or Germany would provide security for those countries. If the intent of the US military is only to familiarize US forces with the local terrain and other factors, in order to be in a position to assist Israel in an emergency, it makes little sense, because there is no reason to suppose that the US forces would be there in an emergency. If the US has simply promised to be there in a military crisis, it could be one that the US might not be able to keep in time. Moreover, as the Israelis say, any real help, unless US forces in Israel are stationed and deployed in Israel and their presence is intended as a guarantee of Israel's security as part of an overall peace plan, the training exercises are a wasteful and unnecessary provocation to the other nations in the Middle East, and endanger US military. A mutual defense treaty with Israel is the first step in a plan for peace. The plan presented here is based upon these conclusions. 1. That peace by negotiation between Israel and the Palestinians is impossible, not only because of the irreconcilable nature of the issues, but because time is running out in the Middle East crisis. 2. That, after many years of discussions, conferences and failed negotiations, the respective positions of most of the principal parties in interest are sufficiently well known and understood that a peace by consensus is now feasible. This hoped-for consensus, however, is fragile and fleeting. Therefore, if the plan proposed here is to achieve success, it must be pursued expeditiously. The following, for our purposes, are considered to be the principal parties in interest in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. They are listed, not necessarily in the order of importance. 1. The United States. 2. Israel. 3. The Palestinian inhabitants of the West Bank and Gaza. 4. The Palestinian refugees. 5. The United Nations. 6. The Soviet Union. 7. The American Jewish Community. 8. The allies of the United States. 9. The friendly Arab countries. 10. The hardline Arab nations. It is contemplated that the proposed plan would be sponsored by the United States and organized and implemented under its leadership. The following is an outline of the basic element and provisions of the plan as proposed. Either United States would immediately enter into a mutual defense treaty with Israel, essentially the same as that presently in force between the US and the Republic of South Korea, dated October 1, 1953. While the provisions of this mutual defense treaty with South Korea are more than adequate to defend Israel from attack or aggression, it is, nevertheless, recommended that certain additional provisions be included in the text of the treaty, to provide Israel with further assurances. As part of the US commitment under the Mutual Defense Treaty, the US agrees to deploy and station military forces air, ground and naval at such strategic points along the borders of Israel or elsewhere as shall be mutually determined. B. The US forces deployed pursuant to the treaty shall be fully equipped, battle-ready units and contingents of the US armed forces sufficient to defend Israel from attack or invasion from any. C. The number and composition of the US forces shall be agreed. Second. Simultaneously with the effective date of the US-Israel Mutual Defense Treaty, Israel will withdraw all of its occupation forces from the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, and re-establish its frontier boundaries as they existed immediately prior to the 1967 war, pursuant to United Nations Resolutions 242 and 338. Third. The United States and Israel will recognize an independent Palestinian state, as provided for in the partition resolution of the General Assembly of the United Nations enacted on November 29, 1947, effective May 14, 1948, to which resolution the United States is a fourth. The borders of the said Palestinian state shall encompass the so-called West Bank and Gaza, and shall be congruent with the borders of Israel as they existed immediately prior to the 1967 war. All Israeli settlers presently owning land in the occupied territories shall have the choice of remaining and becoming citizens of the Palestinian state, or disposing of their property as hereinafter provided that a non-aggression pact be entered into between the state of Sixth. That a demilitarized zone, DMZ, between Israel and the Palestinian state be established, the location and extent of which shall be 7th. That a commission of the United Nations be established for the, to determine the just compensation due to the Palestinian refugees for lands and property taken by Israel in the 1948 War of Independence and now incorporated into the State of Israel. It is understood and agreed that all such compensation paid by the government of Israel in satisfaction of the claims of the said refugees shall not be considered indemnification or restitution, but in the nature of payment for properties acquired under the sovereign right of eminent domain. B. To determine the just compensation due to Israeli settlers in the occupied territories of the West Bank and the Gaza for lands and property held by them which they may desire to dispose of. 8th. That the city of Jerusalem remain in status quo until such time as Israel and the United Nations agree that it is propitious to convene a conference to determine the permanent status of Jerusalem. It shall be understood and agreed that consent by any party to the continuance of the status quo shall not be construed as acquiescence to the status quo permanently nor as prejudicial to any right or claim of the recommendation with respect to the status of Jerusalem is in no sense sweeping the matter under the rug. The rug is a fire. The first imperative is to smother the flames. Sufficient time, perhaps decades, must be allowed to pass in order for the fears, hatreds and religious passions with the coming of peace, the incitement to fear and hatred will gradually diminish and disappear. Harmony and the recognition of mutual interests can replace hostility. We have witnessed the Berlin Wall coming down almost overnight. The movement toward freedom, independence, and self-determination is suddenly epidemic in the world. No one can say what may evolve in Jerusalem. It is even possible that someday Christians, Jews, and Muslims may discover that they share the same God. The greatest enemy of peace in the Middle East is delay. One important aspect of the proposed plan is the fact that, in its critical element, it can be activated and executed quickly to defuse the time bombs ticking away in the Middle East and already approaching the point of explosion. Among the Yasser Arafat is in a race against time. In April 1989, Arafat was elected president of Palestine by the Central Council of the PLO. This was pursuant to a deal with the extreme element of the PLO, headed by George Habash and other rejectionist and Muslim fundamentalist leaders. Arafat convinced the radicals to allow him, and the moderates one more chance, to make peace with the Israelis through diplomacy, with the understanding that, if he failed in his efforts, he would yield to a takeover of the PLO by the radicals, who have been